We're back with another episode of Bridging the Gap. Woo-hoo. I'm your guy, Officer Darren Chenault, here with
Public Information Officer Kelly Cantwell.
Yes, I am here with two rock stars from UCPD, Lieutenant McMahon and Miss Rachel Kleinsdorfer. Did I say that right?
No.
Not at
you're
all.
Smiling.
It's Kleindorfer.
Yes, there it is.
Yes.
So we're going to get right into it. We were talking the other day, and we were talking about like current trends around the University of Cincinnati.
Hey, Darren?
Yes?
Maybe we should let them introduce themselves.
Oh, there it is. See, I like to get into things.
Yeah, but
let Darren's on a roll.
Who they are.
I am on a roll.
Darren's on a roll.
He's Lieutenant McMahon.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lieutenant McMahon. And as you guys know, I run the investigations unit here at the university.
My name's Rachel Kleindorfer, and I am the crime analyst and technical lead at the University of Cincinnati. So I study a lot of data trends that happen on and around campus and help us work, you know, smarter and not harder. So
you make things go for us, huh?
I try
my job easier.
Yeah.
That's all good. Well, we're going to jump right into it. We were kind of talking the other day, and we were talking about burglary trends throughout the University of Cincinnati. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the area that I'm going to be discussing today is from an area called the CSR, which stands for Concentration of Student Residence. So that's essentially where our students are living on and around campus, because it's important to understand the crime that our students are going to be facing coming on and off of campus. So primarily, most of the burglaries that do occur are off campus. Specifically, an area that we struggled with over the summer months were on the south side of campus. It only takes one or two individuals to really drive up our numbers, unfortunately. So our year-to-date numbers are higher at this point. I want to say they are increasing for our year-to-date numbers. However, for the past 28 days and the past 7 days, we are decreasing, which is great. We just had a really rough summer, and hopefully we can continue that decreasing trend. But we're going to get into some things about how to prevent burglaries that should hopefully help these numbers moving forward.
Well, and one of the incidences that I think drove the numbers was we had the burglary on campus, and that was quite a few people that were arrested on that one.
Yes.
So that made our numbers higher. But it was one incident, but a bunch of people.
Right, absolutely.
Does this have anything to do with juveniles? I mean, how much of this is juveniles versus adults? Just curious.
So it depends on the instance. Most of the ones that I'm seeing off campus and on the south side are not juveniles. But I do know there was the instance that Lieutenant McMahon was discussing was involving juveniles, I believe.
Yes, that was mostly
that
all
was
juveniles.
Mostly all juveniles, yes.
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about on-campus burglary and off-campus burglary? Because we look at both in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So on-campus definitely looks different. So we were, you know, kind of discussing a little bit before this. There's some instances where there are burglaries that happen on, like, within some of our buildings. So there are some that happen in the dorms, for example, people going into each other's rooms when they're not invited and taking things. But the instances off campus are usually the offenders are not UC affiliated. So in the case with the dorm situation, that can sometimes be roommate trouble. But sometimes the ones off campus are not involving UC-affiliated people. The offenders aren't anyway.
Right.
So they're entering through, like, unlocked doors, windows, things of that nature. Do you want to talk more about on-campus ones?
Yes, and I also think that's important to note is while the numbers, Rachel looks at the numbers in the whole CSR area, how they're reported to police are different. So if it's, and that's where jurisdiction gets confusing and complicated for people that don't understand it. If you live on campus or you are a victim of a burglary or a crime on campus, then it would be reported to UCPD. But if you live off campus, it's reported to CPD. And we still get those reports and those numbers, but I think it's important to note when she talks about crime stats and stuff, it's, you're encompassing a big area, not just necessarily for all intents and purposes, UC community, so to speak.
And I imagine with what Rachel does, it's very important that we look at Cincinnati police reports too.
Absolutely.
Because my understanding is a lot of our students live in these areas off campus. Mm-hmm. So it's very valuable for our purposes to be looking at those numbers.
Majority.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't speak to actual numbers, but three-fourths of the students live off campus. We're dealing with a small number actually on campus.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of students, Lieutenant McMahon, what can our students do to prevent, you know, such actions as far as break-ins, you know, just kind of prevent things from happening?
Right. Well, I think it's first and foremost the biggest things, and I know it sounds redundant, silly. I'm sure everybody's told the same thing, but I think it's easily overlooked when you're excited to get back home, get out of town, get on vacation, but locking doors and windows. I get a lot of the students live in like older houses, so they keep the windows open for airflow and things like that, but you've got to remember to even a crack, even someone is looking for that, like even a cracked window they can push in. Doors and windows, make sure they're locked. Make sure, Rachel and I were talking, she brought up blinds being closed. Lights are important. Students know they live off campus, the lighting is not the best. And, you know, community engagement, I know that's a battle they fight continuously with the city to try and get better lighting. But if you can get your landlords to put up, like, floodlights, leave a light on in the front window so it looks like someone's home. Even something simple as leaving a TV on, so the noise, so people think someone's home. You know, and the biggest thing, and I know social media and everybody, and I, you know, I'm showing my age here, social media is a big deal. I get it. Everybody wants to post their photos in real time where they're at if you're on vacation or you're back home. But believe it or not, people look for that stuff and they see that and they know people are out of town. So if you can wait to post your vacations or your trips or things like that till you get back, that's a big deal.
And as we go into a lot of breaks for the university, like Thanksgiving and the winter break, what are there like specific things that you see common mistakes students are making when they're leaving for, you know, more than a weekend?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things we just talked about, other things are like leaving the trash cans out because the trash came, you know, Thursday and they left Thursday. So trash cans sit out till Monday or something. A lot of times it could be laziness or whatever, but it also lets people know that, hey, someone might not be home. Because let's face it, everybody knows the majority of where the students live. The bad guys know that too. This isn't their first rodeo. So they know when spring breaks are, fall breaks, winter breaks, summer breaks. So these are the things when they're looking for houses that are easy targets, they're looking for those things. So I would just, you know, again, lock doors, locked windows, close blinds, keep lights on if you can.
And I think I heard Rachel mention something the other day about someone pushing in an AC unit.
Yeah, that's been there.
Yeah, that can also definitely happen. I know that's a little bit harder to prevent because a lot of our students are renters, and so that's the situation with the landlord. But if you're able to, I know it's kind of hard, but put the AC unit on the second level, for example, that would be something that would be preferable to a first floor because it's easier for offenders to gain entry.
Well, and I think by Thanksgiving, you can possibly even be removing these from your windows altogether and just shutting them.
Yes, definitely when it gets colder, just removing them would probably be the best bet. And then, of course, locking the window afterwards to prevent any kind of break-ins through the windows.
Mm-hmm. And I think we get questions sometimes from students about having, like, a security system, like Ring or SimpliSafe or, I don't know, any of the other ones. Do you see much benefit to those? Should students be trying to invest in that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, people's Ring doorbell cameras have helped us significantly catch perpetrators and other bad guys. I mean, they'll offer up. We had one that was one person that was hitting off campus pretty hard, and the girls didn't even know they were helping, and they called up, and they said, hey, we have a Ring doorbell camera we think of. This guy, he kind of looked suspicious, and it was him. And, we were able to identify him.
I get a lot of questions. The Ring camera, is that pretty much the landlord's? Is that his decision to put the Ring camera on, or can kids put it on themselves?
I think it's, hey, if I could do it, probably anybody could do it. I put one up in my house. It's very simple, but however, I would just mention it to your landlord that you're doing it. I wouldn't just go rogue and start putting up things. Definitely mention it. I can't see a landlord saying no. I mean, I would first ask them to install it. And if they say no, say, well, are you okay with me doing it? And then go get a $50 doorbell camera.
And some of these sensors can be pretty renter friendly, right? Like they just stick on the window as opposed to having to screw things in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of different options. And actually, the Ring camera is really helpful for analytics as well, because one of the issues that I face, for example, over the breaks, like Thanksgiving or winter break, is that I won't know a crime has occurred until the student has come back and reported it. So a lot of the times I'm not aware over long periods of breaks where our students aren't present when a burglary actually happens. So with the Ring, you get, you know, your time and day in that moment, because a lot of the times, even with burglaries without breaks, most students won't report it until, for example, the next morning or when they get home. And so I don't have a super accurate day timeline. Or timeline of when they're coming. And that timeline is really important, because that helps narrow down what times I'm going to be looking at recommending to our patrol of when we need to be doing our directed patrols and where.
So what happens? I come home, I'm a student, and I realize my door's kicked in or my window's smashed out. What do I do next?
Call us. Call the police. Like I said, and this is where that jurisdiction comes into play. The majority live off campus, so if you're burglarized off campus, when you call 911, a Cincinnati police officer is going to show up. They're going to take that report. Now, UCPD and CPD work very well together for the most part. So a lot of times the CPD officers find out it's a UC student. They call us. We send an officer to take an information report. So we have all the details as well. And we also have our victim service coordinator, which steps in and helps on the victim side, can help navigate things like that. But the city handles the offense. So then they'll start, it'll go to an investigator, and they'll start their process.
So if when I come home and I realize my house has been broken into, should I wait outside? Should I go in to see what's missing? Can you kind of guide me on that? You know,
I think all situations are going to be different. If it's nighttime and you're getting back and you're alone and your door is open or your window's been broken, absolutely do not go in that house. Call from your car, call from the street. If you know your neighbors are home, a friend's home, go over there, make the phone call, wait for the police to clear your house. I think it's going to be situational. If it's the daytime and then, you know, you've been gone for a week and, you know, it looks like the back window's been broken out of, I would tell you, err on the side of caution. Do not go in. Call outside. Have the officers go in and clear your house. Why would you take that chance? And then when they tell you the house is clear, you're going to come in and they're going to say, okay, what's missing? What's messed up? What things like that. There's no sense of urgency for you to go in if you do not feel comfortable.
And what if I am in my home and an offender comes in? What do I do in that situation?
Besides scream? Yeah, I had to ask scream. And scream.
Yeah, I mean, make as much noise as you can. Run, lock yourself in a closet, lock yourself in a bathroom, lock yourself in another room. Get out if you can. A lot of these older houses have, like, back doors, front doors, a door on the second floor. Run down. I mean, get out any way you can. Call us immediately. Make as much noise as possible. We've had that happen. We've had some reports where, but again, these bad guys are wanting to get in and get out as quick as possible. Mm-hmm. We've had people knock in window units, grab what they can that they can reach and run away. I mean, they're not, you know, and a lot of times people are woken up with people in their house and they've startled the bad guy just as much as they're not expecting someone to be home.
Right.
It's just, you know, luck of the draw type thing. Right. So, yeah.
And I think it's important to also discuss, like, who you're living with in terms of, because sometimes there have been reports where they think it's their roommate, for example. So maybe just having some discussions with who you're living with, you know, if they're going to be home late, or, you know, sort of having some expectations of when they're going to be home. So if something is out of the ordinary, they would know, hey, that's actually not my roommate. You know, that's, you know, and also just being aware, you know, don't leave a key under the mat or, you know, for other people to come in your house, you know, just general things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, and that brings up a good point for on campus, for the residence halls. Mm-hmm. We hear that a lot, that students will be like, well, I don't want to live like I'm in, you know, a jail cell that's locked, so we'll leave our doors open so our friends can just come in and out, you know, keep it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but you're also opening yourself up for situations like this. So right. When you are in your homes or your residence hall, keep your doors locked. I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of the day and age we live in now, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is that way.
Can you also talk, I've heard people around the office mention before where offenders will meet a student at a bar or something, and they will strike up a casual conversation. In the midst of that conversation, they will find out details about where the student lives and when they're going to be back. Can you talk a little bit about that and, like, protecting your privacy with people that you meet?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you're at a bar and if you're drinking and, of course, you're getting a little more loose lip, things like that. Again, bad guys are looking for those situations, and they'll ask you questions that you don't even realize how they're wording it to get information out of you, or they'll offer to walk you back to your house or things like that. Now they know where you live, or they'll watch you get your key from under the mat or under your wheel well because you left them there so you don't have to bring your keys in. And again, they're looking for all of that. So, I mean, the biggest piece of advice is do not, if you don't know someone, they don't need to know that about you. You know, you don't know this person. They have no business knowing where you live, where you're going. We share way too much information.
Yeah, well, and you had mentioned that earlier about being wary of what you're sharing on social media.
Yes.
You know, making sure that you're not posting when, you know, you're actively, like, out of town, showing that you're out of town for a long period of time. Just kind of protecting yourself. Post the photos after you get back. I think that's one of the best things you can do.
Yes.
And protect yourself.
Especially if your accounts are public. Snapchats
right.
are public. I mean, anybody can see these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Making your accounts private is also pretty useful in that regard as well.
So on that same note of prevention, what does UCPD do to prevent burglaries?
So something I'll do as the analyst is I'll be looking at different crime trends. So I've talked a lot about some of the crime trends that have happened over the summer, for example, and that's kind of when we were beginning to discover common methods of entry. It's trying to identify if this person is, you know, working alone, for example, or has, like, a small group. How are they evading, you know, police, for example? Are there specific areas and specific times that they're targeting? You know, looking at all of that stuff is really important. And once I determine, and that's where those Ring cameras can really come into handy, because sometimes I don't get the report until the next morning. So I have a window to work with at best sometimes. But if I can find common areas of locations or common paths of travel for these offenders, then I can give that information to our patrol supervisors. If there is any Ring camera footage, that's something, of course, we would give to our investigators, and they can look more closely into that. But I will base my recommendations off of the data and what I am given, and then I will give those recommendations to our patrol supervisors mm-hmm. so they can go out and do directed patrols, have communications with our students, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, we take that information mm-hmm. that poor Rachel has to compile for all of us. And then we have a community engagement team that will go out and say if it's more of like an educational piece, we start seeing trends or maybe some communication out with the students in the neighborhood, things like that. More of like, hey, if you see something, say something, things like that. We'll have community engagement go out and do that. Or if it comes down to our cuff detail, which I don't know if a lot of people know, we have a cuff detail that it's Clifton, Fairview, forget what it all stands for. It's
University
the four.
Heights?
It's the
yeah,
four University. Areas that we patrol. I'm sorry, I should know that. But they're actually CPD officers that come in, and it's a time frame. Sometimes it changes based on mm-hmm. activity levels and when places are getting hit more. But most of the time, it's in the evening hours over, like, into second and third shift. And those units are just responsible for taking the data that Rachel's compiled and say, okay, so say these streets we're seeing a lot of uptick in crime on those streets. They will do directed patrols and watch those streets.
So that's kind of awesome that UCPD and Cincinnati PD works together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Based off of some of the information that you provide, correct? Yeah,
they're very wonderful to work with. When we were having all of these upticks in burglaries, we were having a lot of conversations with District 1, which is on the south side of campus. That's where we historically have seen a lot of our burglaries before, not just this past summer, but we had a burglary project there at one point and saw a drastic decrease. But burglaries definitely do still happen in the area. But yeah, we have monthly meetings with
I was just going to say, make sure you mention that. We have monthly, we have quarterly crime reduction meetings and our monthly crime reduction meetings that are very important. Yeah. And Cincinnati shows up. Everybody takes it very serious. Yeah. Rachel does a whole presentation on what basically she's talking about with pictures and graphs. And,
Oh, that's awesome. Once again, I appreciate you guys for coming on today and providing us with all this knowledge, just dropping that big old knowledge on us. So the students, the community, we would love that information, just getting it out there. So once again, on behalf of the wonderful Kelly Cantwell over here and Lieutenant McMahon, Rachel Kleinsdorfer, I got it right that time. Thank you for coming out. Have a great day. All that good stuff.
Yep. Thank you for joining us. This is the third episode of Bridging the Gap.
Bye.